আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমান কাসীরা কাসীরা। أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم। Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, it is only with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal, ihsan, kindness, generosity, His mercy, that He takes a person to Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Tayyiba. It is not on the strength of a person's wealth that the person reaches these Mubarak lands. We must never ever think that if a person has plenty of money, then he will be able to make it there. And if a person hasn't got any money, then he will not be able to go there. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system is very, very strange. There are so many people who have all the money in the world, and they travel all over the world, but they just can't go into Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif. They will even go to Jeddah, they will transact business, and they will take the next flight and out. So nobody must be proud about himself that he went there on the strength of his wealth or his knowledge or his capabilities and abilities, nothing of that nature. It is merely an invitation from Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that a person is invited there. And why is he invited there? He is invited so that he may seek forgiveness of his sins, so that he may plead and beg on behalf of the ummah. That is the purpose. So that he may take lessons from all the places that are around there, in Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Tayyiba. The Jabal-e-Nur, what was it? The revelation of the Quran Sharif, the first verses of the Quran Sharif in the cave of Hira. Or whether it is Jabal-e-Sur, whether it is Kaabatullah Sharif itself, whether it is the Mizab-e-Rahmat or the Hatim, or the Maqam-e-Ibrahim or the Safa or Marwa, all those areas around there, even a little distance away, Taif, this side in Madina Sharif, practically every inch of space is not for any other purpose but for us to take lessons. Now unfortunately, there is a very, very fine line between explaining or expressing one's experiences or the trip itself or the happenings there or the ibadat there or the kayfiyat there. One is explaining it, expressing it, relating it to some others for the purpose of ibrat or nasihat or encouragement. And on the other hand, it could be for show, bragging, a travelogue to create the impression that I too am from one of those holy ones. So there's such a fine line there. Many a times it happens that a person will make 10 tawafs, 20 tawafs at night or 30 tawafs, and then in the morning the person will say, Alhamdulillah, with Allah Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan I made 30 tawafs. But the niyat is not to make shukar of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is to show that I also made 30 tawafs, or I made 20 tawafs. So just in that one statement, the person washed away everything. One person just said that bring that container, bring the water in that container, which I brought in my fifth hajj. Bring the zamzam water and give to this guest in that container which I brought in my fifth hajj. Now what was the purpose of mentioning that fifth hajj there? To show the people that I made five hajj. What else? So the person in that one statement, he washed away his five hajj. So it is such a fine line. That's why I always say that if I have to go to America and come back, then I may be doing a lot of work here in South Africa, but I won't talk about that. But I will keep on repeating that I went to America, I went to America. If I went to China, if I went to Timbuktu or Honolulu, then I will keep on repeating that, that we went so far and we did this and we did that. Why does Shaitan keep on making you say those things? Because he wants to create that impression that, see, I also went here and did deen work, etc. We have to be so careful. One is tahdith and ni'mat. The person is expressing it out of a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala himself says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah Ta'ala gives somebody a ni'mat. Allah wants to see the effect of that ni'mat also on that person. And if he expresses that as a by way of ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, shukar of Allah Ta'ala, then there's no harm, there's no sin in it. In fact, it is, if these people, these awliya-i-kiram, these akabir of the ummah, they had not related their incidents, we would not have learnt anything. So sometimes it is necessary. But for ordinary people like us, we have to be very careful. And especially now, and do not be offended, my sisters who are listening, and also my brothers who are listening, especially now with the radio stations where they have programs of experiences of your Hajj trip, or experiences of your visit to Madina Tayyiba. Or we have these newspapers, we have our magazines, we have our press. So there, sometimes, as I say, we must not doubt any person's intention. We must think that the person said it with sincerity, because we do not know what is in that person's mind and why that person is relating it. But the tendency is that sometimes a person goes on and on, and he's relating that whole story for no other purpose but just to express or just to convey that this person also made a lot of sacrifice or made a lot of ibadat or had tremendous amount of kayfiyat and feelings and experiences when the person was there. They want the whole world to know. ND528640 and 432651. Please move your person. So it is permissible, it is all our buzrugs and akabir and all, but they had clear hearts, sincere intention. They were not saying it, they were not bragging about anything. It was not show business. It was intended to educate or to encourage, so that was permissible. So therefore, whenever I am told to speak after a return from one of these places, then this fear grips me sometimes, that, Ya Allah, I must not say anything that will border on riya, on show. But there must be nothing but sincerity. There must be nothing but ikhlas in whatever we are saying. With that niyat, if a person says, then somebody else will benefit too, himself will benefit too. Inshallah. But before I start off with that, I will read to you this Naat Sharif, which was read at the Rauza Mubarak, Alhamdulillah, this time again, which you have heard here a few times before my departure also. But that will capture the mood, inshallah, of the condition of the ummah at present and what we are hoping and praying for. Nabiye akram shafi'e azam dukhe dilo ka payam le lo. Nabiye akram شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو. تمام دنیا کے ہم ستائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں سلام لے لو. نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو. تمام دنیا کے ہم ستائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں سلام لے لو. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take the message of these painful hearts, the hearts which are aching, the hearts which are paining. Tamam duniya ki hum sataye khade hue hain salam le lo. The whole world is troubling us today. any country in the world you go, Muslims are experiencing nothing but hardships, problems, difficulties. We have been troubled by the whole world. Take our salam, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shikasta kashti hai tez dara, shikasta kashti hai tez dara, nazar se ropoosh hai kanara, shikasta kashti hai tez dara, nazar se ropoosh hai kanara, nahi koi na khuda hamara, khabar to aali maqam le lo, nabiye akram shafi'e azam, dukhe dilon ka payam le lo, tamam dunya ke hum sataaye, khade hue hain salam le lo, qadam qadam pe hai khauf rehzan, zameen bhi dushman, falak bhi dushman, qadam qadam pe hai khauf rehzan, zameen bhi dushman, falak bhi dushman, zamana hum se hua hai badzan, zamana hum se hua hai badzan, tum hi muhabbat se kaam le lo, nabiye akram shafi'e azam, dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Everyone has become our enemy. The earth is our enemy. The skies seem to be our enemies. Right, left, east, west, north, south, anywhere we look is nothing but missiles flying, bombs flying, helicopters flying. Seems like the whole world wants to destroy the Muslim Ummah. Zami bhi dushman, falak bhi dushman. Kabhi taqaza wafa ka humse, kabhi mazaq-e jafa hai humse, kabhi taqaza wafa ka humse, kabhi mazaq-e jafa hai humse, tamam dunya khafa hai humse, khabar to khairul anam le lo, nabiye akram shafi'e azam, dukhe dilon ka payam le lo, tamam dunya ke hum sataaye, khade hue hai salam le lo, tamam dunya ke hum sataaye, khade hue hai salam le lo, ye kaisi manzil pe aa gaye hain, ye aisi manzil pe aa gaye hain, na koi apna na hum kisi ke. Ye kaisi manzil pe aa gaye hain, na koi apna na hum kisi ke. Tum apne daaman mein aa jaa, tamam apne ghulam le lo. Nabi akram shafi azam, dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Tamam dunya ke hum sataye, khade hue hain salam le lo. How, what a stage in our lives we have reached. Ye kaisi manzil pe hum aa gaye hain. Na koi apna na hum kisi ke. Neither are we useful for anyone, nor is anybody useful for us. Neither are we helpful for anyone to anyone, and neither is anyone helpful to us. Neither do we have the gham, the fikr, the concern, the compassion, the kindness, the love, the feeling for anyone in the world today, irrespective of where they are dying and what is happening, and nobody in the world seems to be really worried about us. Ye kaisi manzil pe hum aa gaye hain, na koi apna na hum kisi ke. Nabi akram shafi azam, dukhe dilo ka payam le lo. Tamam dunya ke hum sataye, khade hue hain salam le lo. So brothers, that is the purpose of going to those Mubarak lands and Mubarak places. There's nothing but noor there. Even today, with all that is happening around there, there's nothing but noor there. It just depends what we see and what we are going to look for. If the person goes there to look for the bazaars, where all the attractive things of the world are sold, then don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it is haram to buy and purchase from there, to buy a few things for the family members as a gift is permissible, for friends it's permissible, with the niyat of giving some business to those people, it will be even sawab. But if the maqsad and the niyat is nothing but just to visit, as they advertise nowadays in the papers there, because of this new system that they have, that thousands of tourists will be coming now to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, and they will be going to Riyadh, and they will be going to this other place. It's like a package deal now, that few days here, few days there, few days there. So they are calling them now also tourists. Now when a tourist goes, then what is his niyat? Just to see the scenery, just to take a few photographs here, a few photographs there, and pack up his bag with the material things of this world, and then return home and give a whole story of his trip. That is generally what a tourist does. And unfortunately, this is what we seem to be heading for. So Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know that it is his birthplace. Makkah Mukarrama is his birthplace, and Madina Tayyiba is his resting place. So anybody that is blessed with this Mubarak trip and journey, it is indeed a gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But then if the person does not appreciate that gift, then it can also have serious consequences. Because of the influence of the West over all countries of the world, and also Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Tayyiba, the spirit and the ruh seems to be leaving the lives of most of those people who are visiting. Most of us who go there, the spirit is totally lost. It is more like a trip that we undertake. We make some tawaf, we make some zikr, tilawat, we go and see the sights, and that's about the end of it. And changes begin to come in our lives before we have even reached Jeddah. Changes already come in the person's life, he goes back to square one. So we have to be very much on guard and very careful. But today, tonight, it is not my niyat or intention to give you a long story of all the happenings and everything seen. It is not even necessary because you have heard most of it before also. But for the purpose of those who are here, who haven't heard, because I do not know how many times I have mentioned this to different people in Makkah Sharif, in Madinah Sharif, to friends here in South Africa when they are going. And everyone that listens to it and goes, afterwards when they come back, they say that this time we had a different kind of experience when we went about it the way that you explained to us. So the two things that I always repeat, and I have no hesitation in repeating again, is that when we are at Baitullah Sharif, then it is Rabbul Bait that we have to look for. Baitullah is the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah does not reside there. We are in search of Rabbul Bait. Therefore, that one wali of Allah Ta'ala, when one of his murid was going for a Nafil Hajj, he asked him that, what are you going for? He said, Nafil Hajj. And he said, I am going to Baitullah. So he said, did you recognize the Rabbul Bait? He says, no, I haven't recognized Rabbul Bait. The master of the house I haven't recognized. So he said, then what are you going for? You should recognize the master of the house. So you come with me. So he took him with and he kept him with him for a long time. And when he saw that his heart is now purified, then he said, now you go. And when he went this time, then he saw something else. Now he saw the Noor, the Tajalli. Up till now he was just seeing the walls. So there is something there, because there is the Baitul Ma'mur, which is right above in the seventh heaven, but directly above the Kaaba Sharif. 70,000 angels make tawaf of the Baitul Ma'mur, and they don't get another opportunity. Now, if that is the condition of the Baitul Ma'mur, then this Kaaba Sharif, which is directly beneath it and below it, that tajalli is coming right from there, right from the arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, right from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself to the Kaaba Sharif. It is like a pillar of noor that is connecting there. So I always give this example, that if a person has been to Victoria Falls or Niagara Falls or one of the falls where there's a huge volume of water that is coming and it's falling from a height and is dropping on the ground from a height. So when it drops, then the spray and the splash goes very far and wide. Even if you stay 100 meters away, sometime you can still feel the spray of that. And in fact, nearer you go, although it's not raining, but if there are trees there, then they say it's rainforest, because that same water that's going on the trees and coming down, so all the time you are getting drenched in that rain, and it's coming from the same falls. So if the water of this world, when it is dropping from a height, it can cause us, although standing at a distance, to be completely drenched and soaked. Then imagine this rain of noor that's falling from such a height, and what volume of noor that we can't even imagine. Now when we are sitting there, right here when we are sitting, we can get the noor of the Kaaba Sharif. That is why we are facing towards the Kaaba Sharif, that it is connected with our masjid also, and is connected all over the world. Now imagine you are right there. So if you sit with that imagination, that here the noor, the rains of noor are pouring on the Kaaba Sharif, and I am sitting just a few meters away from there. So you say, Ya Allah, this noor, the rains which are pouring, cause my heart to be cleaned and washed out and purified in these rains of noor that are pouring on the Kaaba Sharif. Now when he's going to sit like that and picture that it is coming down, he will have a different feeling altogether. Because there is definitely a connection between the Kaaba Sharif and the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala right up. So this is the imagination that Allah Ta'ala has given us the power of, that we must use it. And this is the truth, it is a haqiqat, it's a reality, it's not just some fantasy world. There is a reality, that there is definitely that kind of noor that is coming down on the Kaaba Sharif. Therefore I mentioned to some of my friends who were with me, that sometimes shaitan is too shrewd and is very, very clever. We have to be so much on guard. I say, shaitan will tell you that guns, although outwardly it will seem like a very good intention and very good niyat, but it is shaitan behind it, because shaitan doesn't sleep in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. He makes an all-out effort there. So he will say, go and sit down in the first saf and look at the Kaaba Sharif. Now this person gets very excited that he'll get more sawab if he's in the first saf, and he will brag about it too, that I was sitting in the first saf and watching the Kaaba Sharif. But what will happen is that because he's right there, how long is he going to keep his head up? Because people are making tawaf around there. So the person will look for 2 minutes up, and then for 3 minutes he'll look at those women and everyone that's making tawaf there. And then the people that are fighting at the Hajr-e-Aswad there. And the people that are making tawaf in this manner and that manner. So what happened is that he took him there in the first saf with the niyat of sawab, and he took away all his sawab, make him look at all the wrong things, and he came out from there empty. So outwardly the person will be losing some sawab, outwardly, that he didn't get the first saf. But I suggested to those young friends that were with me that sit a little further away from there, fifth saf, tenth saf, and from there you can keep your gaze focused on the Kaaba Sharif. Inshallah you will get more sawab than even sitting right in the front there and looking at those women that are making tawaf there and staring at them or looking at all the other wrong things that are happening there. So this is something that came to my mind there, and I explained it to them, and they said, yes, indeed, it did make a big difference. So this is the imagination with which we sit there. Then of course, kahan meri qismat tawaf-e-haram, kahan meri qismat tawaf-e-haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam, kahan meri qismat tawaf-e-haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam, mere seene ko hasil hai wo multazam, jis se chipke the kul seene e anbiya, mere seene ko hasil hai wo multazam, jis se chipke the kul seene e anbiya, mere seene ko hasil hai wo multazam. Now picture that you are walking in that same place, the same spot, exactly the same ground on which all the Ambiyas walked, and the Sardar and the leader of all the Ambiya, Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he also walked on the same ground. His 124,000 companions that came for the Hajjatul Wida, they also made tawaf of that same Kaaba Sharif, and they walked on the same piece of ground. Now my feet which has walked to the cinemas, my feet which went to the theatres, my feet which went to haram places, today Allah Ta'ala has given me the opportunity to walk on those same, on that same ground on which the park, pure feet of my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked, those feet which were kissed by the angels of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now today my feet are walking again on that same ground. Now when we are going to pick, and then again the multazam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's chest was against that same multazam, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we are going to picture it that way, in that way, and then make the tawaf, then even if the quantity will be little, but the quality will be good, and then we will find that noor coming into our hearts. But of course all this has to be done with plenty of istighfar and tawbah. I am not delivering a Hajj talk and Hajj bayan, otherwise it will take hours, but I am just giving you one or two pointers, that this is how a person should be there, receiving that noor that is coming down on the Kaaba Sharif. And then of course every spot there is nothing, for nothing but dua, and it is for ibrat and for taking lessons. So Allah Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, that those people who were with and they tried to follow the directives and direction, a little bit of guidance, then they too experience some difference in the quality of their umrah from those that they made previously. But let us go to Madina Sharif. Because Madina Sharif, it is exactly the same thing. The Kaaba Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given it great sharaf and great izzat and respect and honor. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's resting place is far more honorable, far more worthy of respect, and it is far more precious and greater than even the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, greater than the Kaaba Sharif, because all these things were created, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his creation, Allah ta'ala created all these things. And it is a unanimous opinion, it is consensus of opinion that that resting place, if that is the case of the resting place of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then imagine what kind of noor must be there. If the Kaaba Sharif has got that much of noor, then what kind of noor must be there where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is? And we believe that Allah Ta'ala has already given him, or said that he was given another life straight away. There's no such thing as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is dead and is sleeping. Na'uzubillah. We must not even imagine like that. There are so many things that have happened at the Roza Mubarak. There are so many people who have heard the voice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam coming from the Roza Mubarak. There are so many people. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayhi, he said that fi halatil bu'di ruhi kuntu ursiluha, when I was far away I used to send my soul to come to you ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and convey my salam, but now I am here present, extend your hand ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that I may shake your hands and kiss your hands. 90,000 people cannot be wrong. The hand emerged, they fell down unconscious looking at the brightness and the shine of the Mubarak hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That time they didn't have that gate there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Roza Mubarak, there are many, many things that are happening there. Now we do not have that kind of a heart to really see and understand what is happening. But there again, I always explain to my friends that when you are making dua, then one is you are at the Roza Mubarak itself. Now at the Roza Mubarak itself, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's resting place, there is nothing but noor. The angels are coming in from all sides. As I explained the last time also, that the flights are coming in all the time from all parts of the world. It is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that when a person reads salat salam on me, he sends salam on me from a distant place, then the angels of Allah Ta'ala, they roam about the earth and they convey that salam to me. And when he conveys salam at my roza, then I listen to him. So now this salam which is coming in from all parts of the world, imagine the millions of angels that are there. Now we do not see them, but we believe in the eyes of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say, how do they enter the Roza Mubarak? Because if the windows are there and the sun comes out, the sun enters inside. The light enters inside. From where did it enter? Which door did it enter? But everything is lit up and bright inside. So they all came. Now if the person is blind, then he will not see it. So he must ask the person who's got sight, that has the sunlight come in. So in the same way, we have to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one who is of sight. And he is informing us that these angels are bringing the durud and salam. So how much of noor of those angels? Then the noor of the Gumbad-e-Khazra. Sukoon-e jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukoon-e jahan hai nizam-e-madina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's resting place, all these angels are bringing in all that salam there. So all that noor, the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, how much of noor there must be. Now that waterfall that we are talking about, what a kind of a waterfall there must be here. And there is a direct connection again right up to the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The angels are coming and going. And the masjid itself full of noor. The angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Israfil, Hazrat Israel, all of them visited the Roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, thousands of times he came and he went. Now just imagine all that noor. Now if we sit there and after that when we return, we say that we didn't come back with anything, so then there's something wrong with our hearts. There's nothing wrong with that place. It's still Mubarak. But something wrong with our hearts. We have to put our receivers right and then we will receive. So that is inside. And even if you are outside, I explain to them that you're making dua there. On the one side is Rasul-e-Pak's and Roza Mubarak with all that noor and all that barakat and rahmat. And on the left-hand side is Jannatul Baqi. Now we have been told that each person, his qabr is either a pit fire of the pit fire of hell, or it is Rawzatum min Riyadil Jannah. It is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Now there Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, the wives of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, thousands of sahabas, the children of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now all these people, what kinds of gardens they must be having, we can't even picture and imagine. Each one is enjoying a garden that we can't even imagine. Now how much of Noor in the Qabristan? So one side the Qabristan, one side the Rosa Mubarak. Now this person is there in between the two Noors. Now he's making dua. Then you think his dua is not going to be accepted? So we have to use this kind of imagination, and this is, as I said, not a fantasy, it's a reality, it is something that is happening. Or when the person is in Riyazul Jannah also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, ma baina bayti wa mimbari rawzatum min Riyazul Jannah. Now when the person has entered that spot, he says, Ya Allah, a person who has entered Jannat, then after that you are not going to take him out. Now here you entered me into this Jannat without any reckoning, without any difficulty, and you entered me here without my deserving. So Ya Allah, enter me into the Jannat in the Akhirat also. Just as here you've got me right next to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's his resting place, and I'm in the Riyaz-e-Jannah. Ya Allah, there in Jannat also enter me in the company of my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and give me that same closeness that you have given me here. Then just see what kind of a feeling you have, what kind of a kafiyat you have, what kind of a reality you experience. So these are the things that are important there. But the point that I wanted to discuss in tonight's majlis was what I had mentioned in Juma, that nowadays when we are going there, because this is, if I'm not giving a talk on Hajj and Umrah, that nowadays when we go there, unfortunately, we see so many things which we do not want to see. As I mentioned in the Juma Bayan also, that I was sitting there in the Haram Sharif, on my right, left, everywhere you find people talking nothing but football, 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 the World Cup, World Cup. Then if you go to the hotels, it's nothing but World Cup. If you go into the foyers there, you will find the television, it's on there, there's a crowd around it, and they are screaming and shouting, and it's nothing but World Cup. So at such a time, now you do not want to see these things, but you can't help it, it just comes before your very eyes. So I mentioned in the Juma Bayan that I was so agitated and irritated that at the Multazam I made dua, Ya Allah, make them lose in such a way that they don't get up again. And then when I arrived here, I heard at Jan Smuts, I heard that they lost 8-0. So that time I regretted why I made that dua and not some other dua. I should have made some other dua, it would have been far better. But nevertheless, then when I finished my Juma talk and came outside, one brother tells me, Molna, they lost the second game too and they're completely out. So I said, well, at least it will be peaceful now. In Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, it will be peaceful. Because anybody who has got any idea of how they perform when they win a match, then they will say that, Molna, that dua was the right thing you did. Because it's terrible. I mean, in the masjid, in the Haram Sharif, front of the Kaaba Sharif, imagine you are inviting the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But now we must take lesson from that is the condition of the youth there or the others. Then what is our condition? I mean, we are none the better. Our wuzu khanas are there's no talk but world football. We look in the masjids, in the sands, and sometimes in the masjid the person is talking, and the person meets somebody straight away is asking him some scores. And as that one priest, it was in the paper, somebody gave me that article, that when he said finally Amin, the person said 2-2. So he said, well, he must have got it on his SMS, that while the priest was praying, this person was following his SMS, that what's the latest score. And as soon as the priest made Amin, the person said the score is 2-2. So now this is what is happening in the churches, it's happening in the masjids, it's happening everywhere. So it should not become an obsession. Now and again, casually, if a person just checked some score and went over it, we don't say it's haram or completely prohibited. But for it to become an obsession, that day and night, there's nothing but football, or there's nothing but viewing of this television box. And then good people, namazis, people who have got deen in their lives, but they too becoming obsessed with it. Now that is definitely ghaflat. And when the person becomes ghafil from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and ghafil anil akhirat, then it's a very dangerous trait. As I mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, alamatu iradillahi ta'ala anil abdi ishtighaluhu fima la ya'ni. When the person engages himself in those activities which are futile, absolutely useless, doesn't help him in any way, what benefit does it give to the eyes? What benefit does it give to, in fact, it will damage the eyes. When the person is going to watch too much, there will be damage to the eyes. What benefit is it of to the ears? What benefit is it of to the heart or to the mind or to the soul? It's nothing but futile, absolutely useless. Doesn't help in any way the person's physical body or this world or the akhirat. So that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat from that person. Now certain signs are there. The moment, like I was getting a very dry throat and I was feeling very thirsty and I was going out quite a few times at night, so straight away that was a sign that my sugar has gone high. So now that was a sign. And when I checked it out, although I never had sugar in the past, but the doctor tells me it's 23 degrees. So now how did I get that? It was with the signs. Allah Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, Allah Ta'ala must reward those doctors, and Allah Ta'ala must reward all those who made du'as that it came back to normal. But the thing is that there are signs kept in everything. Now when we are glued to this television and watching that football all the time and all that, then we must realize now this is the sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away His glance of rahmat and mercy from us. So now we must expect problems, different kinds of problems coming. Remember, if a problem comes as a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it has a different effect altogether. The person's, within his heart, the person still has sukoon, he has tranquility. He will have pain, he will have difficulty, he will have hardship, whatever it is. But inside his heart, there will be a kind of tranquility which is not disturbed. Can be earthquake on the outside, but inside there's going to be real calm. And when the person is being punished by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then you will find restlessness. The person will want to take his life. He will say, I want to commit suicide, I can't take it anymore, I'm sick and tired, and all those kind of things. So this is one of the signs when a person is glued to all the wrong things, or he is occupied and it has become an obsession now, then it is a sign that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has turned his glance of rahmat away. And that is a very, very dangerous thing. We must not play with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. Allah is very, very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very compassionate, very loving and very caring. It's only Allah Ta'ala who can tolerate our nonsense. Nobody else can tolerate our nonsense. He's Haleem. But then He gives us a long rope. So all of us must check our own lives. Don't worry about the others, we must check our own lives. So what I was saying is that there are many things that are happening which you just can't help seeing. So one of my friends asked me, he says, Maulana, what do we do when we see these type of things? People are coming clean shaven in front of the Rosa Mubarak, or clean shaven here, and they are making, their pants are below the ankles, they are making tawaf, and then the way they are dressed and the way they are joking and laughing and all these kind of things. So what do we do? Because it comes before our eyes. So now take this lesson for tonight, and I think that is sufficient for the majlis, that not only there, but here or anywhere, but especially there. I said the first thing that we must remember is this, that they are in Makkah Sharif. These people are in Makkah Sharif. Indeed, the wrong will remain wrong, and we will criticize the wrong. We will talk ill about the wrong. And we will dislike and we will hate the sin. But as far as these people are concerned, we must hold a good opinion. We must think that this person today, he is indulging in this. After a few minutes, he's going to go to the Multazam. He's living in Makkah Sharif. He'll come here 5 times a day. After a little while, he'll go to the Multazam. And he'll say, oh Allah, forgive all my sins. Because whoever goes to the Multazam, he must make dua, oh Allah, forgive all my sins. He can't be saying, oh Allah, forgive my sin A, B, C, but the sin of shaving, don't forgive. The sin of... He won't say like that. He's going to ask for forgiveness for all sins, and he's going to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for hidayat. Now we do not know when that person's dua will be accepted. Many a time the dua is accepted immediately, but the effects of that dua we will see many years later. There are many people, the buzrugs, the ahlullah, they made dua for them when they were little children. Ya Allah, make him hafiz alim, make him a good pious person, make him the coolness of the eye of his parent. Now that time the child was only 1 year old or 6 months old. The child doesn't even know that who made dua. But the effect of the dua will be seen 20 years later. Then the parents will say, yes, somebody at that time, one buzrug, one Allah wala made dua for this child of mine, and that's why we are finding these type of sifats and qualities in him. So duas are accepted sometimes immediately, but the fruits of it we will see later in life. So this person is going there 5 times a day and is crying there, and is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala will accept his dua and forgive him. Now we will still keep talking about him. So therefore don't talk about any individual. It is a general sin, then talk about it general, so that you are not picking on any particular person, because we do not know when that person went and made tawbah. So if it is a sin, for example, the television viewing that's in the foyers, or this kind of sins that we are talking about, then it's a general thing that is in the eye of the public. It's not something secret, it's not something that you are talking of a particular individual. So I said, first thing, remember this, that this person is all the time making tawbah, istighfar there. We do not know when his tawbah will be accepted and he will be forgiven. So the second thing is this, that these people who are in Madina Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they are my neighbors. He says they are my neighbors. And the neighbors have got rights. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised intercession for those people who bear the hardships of Madina Sharif and still remain there. Because in one of the hadiths, the mafhum of which, it's a lengthy hadith, but one part of it is this, that, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned this, after the battle of Uhud, in which there were lots of shaheeds and people were really suffering hardships. So at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that some people will go out of Madina Sharif. They cannot take the difficulties, the hardships, the trials of Madina Sharif, so they will go away. They will go to distant lands, and there they will find good food, fine clothes, good transport. Then they will send message to their family members in Madina Sharif that how long are you going to remain chained to the drought-stricken Madina Sharif? So leave that and come away here. So many people will leave and go away. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says even at that time if they had remained here, it would have been better for them if they had only known. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if the person makes sukunat in Madina Sharif, wa sabara ala balaiha, and the person makes sabar over the difficulties, the trials, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I will intercede for him and I will be witness for him on the day of Qiyamah. And he said that they are my neighbors. So now these neighbors of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if they make some mistake, some errors, something wrong that they do, but if they pass away in Madina Sharif and they get burial in Jannatul Baqi, then what more do they want? The winds of Rahmat are blowing over there all the time. So why should we talk about ill of them? So that is the second thing that we should remember, that these people are neighbors of the Kaaba Sharif or neighbors of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third thing is that is their present condition and this is our present condition. But what guarantee we have got that tomorrow we will not be in their place and they will not be in our place? That is the most frightening thing, is because we have seen in our lives how so many people have slipped. One day they were heroes and next day zeros. So many people. Aise aise kaise kaise ho gaye, aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye. How many were pious, righteous? They had the beard, they had the kurta, their pants above the ankles, and they were in the masjid, and they were in the first saf, and then just suddenly one pretty face and everything gone. Wallah, just for one pretty face, they even sold their iman. I'm not talking about those who were not frequenting the masjid. We are dealing with cases, we know what kind of people. Just for a pretty face, the person was prepared to give up his iman and accept Christianity and marry the woman. So therefore, we have to make a lot of dua. There's so many of them. The moment they start bragging, the moment pride comes in, sometimes arrogance comes in, sometimes holier-than-thou attitude comes in. Now all these things make that person start sliding. And then the person goes far away. Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion, whilst he was an imam of one masjid there, so for the Fajr Salat, just one occasion, it happened that he was just a little late, because he was making imamat there, so he was a little late, just a minute or so late. Now those days the imams were treated, and even now in many places the imams are treated like slaves. Yeah. That once the person is paid a salary, then after that he has got to listen. So this person, he was a chowdhury of the place, meaning it's just kind of a big boy of the place. So he started walking up and down the masjid. Just that he says, well, these days look at the maulanas also, look at the imams also, they're not on time, and they're not. And it was just the first time that had happened. So Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he didn't say anything. He went forward and he made the namaz. And the people are witnesses to the fact that that person who was regular in the first saf, from the very next day, it so happened that he just couldn't make it. He started going into the second saf, third saf, last saf, and finally he left the masjid also. The azab of Allah Ta'ala got him. So pride and arrogance is a very dangerous thing. So they, when we are looking at these people, we must think that today they may be doing something wrong, but we do not know when they will make tawbah. And if we are going to be too proud of our achievements, then khuda na khasta, Allah must not make it happen, Allah must protect us, that after that we begin to slide. So this is the, once a person has got this fear at heart, then he is not going to look down upon those people. He will. So now when he is not going to look down upon them, then what must he do? Then he must make a lot of dua for their hidayat. That is now his duty, because he saw his Muslim brother that is indulging in something that is not right, something that is wrong. So what he must do is make plenty of shukr that Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq of doing that which is right, and make plenty of dua for the hidayat of that person. That will be far more effective than just sitting and gossiping about the weakness and the shortcomings of those people, which is our habit these days. But if the person is there and he does these four things, inshallah Ta'ala, he will retain that noor also, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him progress also. For tonight, I think that much is enough. There are many things that I wanted to say, but then again I restrained myself, because I do not wish to say those things which may just border on bragging. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must protect me too, and protect you too, and protect the entire ummah. But there are certain feelings, there are certain kayfiyat, there are certain things that happen in a person's heart and in a person's mind, and the words of this, of the vocabulary of this world cannot describe those happenings. It's not possible. If some friends of mine who are with me, if they say they couldn't describe certain kayfiyat that they experience, so it is a thing like that. Now we are sinful ones, but still if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can give us some kind of a feeling, so then we must make shukr over it, and then it increases our iman, it makes it more solid, and brings our yaqeen that definitely it is a place where there's plenty of noor, plenty of rahmat, plenty of barakat, and it has, and we can make a plenty of, we can make plenty of spiritual progress, and our nisbat Allah Ta'ala can also increase. But provided we spend our time there correctly, we don't say whole day read tasbih and whole day read durood sharif, whole day read Quran sharif. The person will still read a normal life, but abstinence from sins in those mubarak places is very, very important. May Allah Ta'ala give all those who are going there, because people are going there by the thousands, by the millions every year. Allah Ta'ala must change the halat and the condition. Allah Ta'ala must change the hearts. Allah must connect their hearts with him and with Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then after that, even if we have 313 like they were in the Battle of Badr, we'll find victory all over the world. But at present we do not even have 313 in the world who are of that kayfiyat and of that level and of that understanding and of that ittiba of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the Sahaba-e-Kiram way. That's all is required. But again, we must not misunderstand. It does not mean that Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because 313 gained victory, then after that he didn't only take 313 in the Battle of Uhud. He didn't only take 313 for Khandaq. He didn't only take 313 for Fatah Makkah. He still made use of all the means, etc. But what I am saying is that spirit and that kayfiyat that Allah Ta'ala had given to them, if only we can get that in our hearts, then we will see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala changes the conditions around the world. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. But you are Rahim, you are Kareem, you are Sattar, you are Ghaffar, you are most forgiving, compassionate, kind, loving, caring. Oh Allah, we are extremely weak in our ibadat, in our namaz, in our zikr, in our tilawat, in our fulfillment of the rights of yours, of Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the huquq of the Baytullah, of Madina Sharif, of our parents, our families, our children. Ya Allah, we are very, very neglectful. But oh my beloved Allah, you are most forgiving. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of the Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, assist and help the Muslim Ummah. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of the Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, send down your angels and assist the Muslims of Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, India and other parts of the world. Ya Allah, the reports are being sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mondays and Thursdays, he is informed, oh Allah, of the condition of his Ummah. Ya Allah, he is informed of the condition of his Ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is informed of the condition of his Ummah, he who cried all the time for that Ummah, he who shed so much of his blood for that Ummah, how much of pain and hurt it must be causing. And Ya Allah, we are the cause of his pain and injury. Ya Allah, we are the cause of his pain and injury. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive the entire Ummah. Ya Allah, purify our souls. Ya Allah, protect Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif also from all the fitnas that are pouring in there. Ya Allah, protect us from all fitnas. Ya Allah, bless us with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness. Bless us with contentment. Bless us with tawakkul, with zuhud, with shukr. Ya Allah, bless us with such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the financial difficulty. Oh Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make the children obedient to you. Make the children obedient to their parents. Ya Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them happiness and joy. Ya Allah, change the conditions of adversity in this country to that of prosperity and happiness. Ya Allah, the crime levels are rising by the day. No person's life is safe, no person's car is safe, no person's home is safe, no person's children are safe, no person's property is safe anymore. Ya Allah, we have become prisoners in our homes, prisoners in our cars, prisoners in our businesses, prisoners all around. Ya Allah, we know that this is because of our doings, that the conditions in this country have changed. Ya Allah, but you are Qadir al-Mutlaq, everything is in your power. Ya Allah, we are asking you for forgiveness of our sins. Change the conditions to that of happiness and prosperity and joy. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, and take us to Madinah Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madinah Tayyibah. Ya Allah, bless us with burial in Jannat al-Baqi. Ya Allah, Huzur Paak Swasam ke sadqe tufail mein hamari duao ko qubool farma. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله